I am playing myself this morning. Now, let's begin. It's a cold, chilly day in Columbus with the drizzle falling, so let's begin with an interactive name pronunciation exercise to warm up. The name Sabaoth rhymes with abode. Let's hear it. Sabaoth. Chandra rhymes with tundra. Come on, Chandra. It's really not that hard. You were freaking out when you were looking at all those consonants. The name Sabaoth in Sanskrit, by the way, an ancient language like Latin or Gaelic, means good knowledge. Su means good, bodh means knowledge. Isn't it high time that we had an attorney general whose very name means good knowledge instead of one? Instead of one who says we have no knowledge? Now, just a quick biographical note about myself. I was born in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, raised in Norman, Oklahoma. And I moved to Ohio to work for Dick Celeste when he was governor. In fact, I lived right around the corner in the Short North before living in the Short North was cool. You could still hear shots fired in the distance. And I think the place is a pizza place was probably a strip club in those days. I never knew you. And one of the things that I remember about those days, and it's I feel terrible feeling so nostalgic about it, but I just remember Ohio being prosperous. And I was working for the last governors to govern over a prosperous Ohio. And I've watched over the last decade and a half as this state has been run into the ground. And I really thought that my differences with these elected officials were just a matter of political philosophy, energy level, and intelligence. They have a different philosophy. They're lazy. They don't do with governmental authority what I would do if I had the opportunity. And, you know, few of them are stupid. But what's happened to us over the last year, as the evidence has come in, has proved a completely different picture. These elected officials don't just have a different political philosophy. They're not just lazy. They're not just stupid. These people were lookouts at the scene of a bank robbery, whistling along while their pals were looting the bank. Anyway, it's been a decade and a half, and there's time yet to turn this around. So what's the role of the Attorney General? Here's one of the things that really surprised me as I hit the campaign trail, determined to try to take this state back, is how few people know or care about the Attorney General's office. The non-lawyers think, well, that's just an office lawyers should care about. The lawyers think, well, that's just an office that lawyers who profit from it should care about. And none of them have any clue about how important this office is. I'm looking at a room full of people that on a cold, drizzly morning in Columbus in the winter are here in a room. You're the people that pay attention to politics. But I'll bet you not one of you could raise your hand right now and tell me a single thing that the Ohio Attorney General has done for you over the last decade. Well, there you have it. Personal testimonial. Well, I feel like Dr. Phil. Yes, sir.
I think you're personally responsible for helping us raise a record amount of volunteerism in Miami County to work for Democrats.
Well, terrific. Well, maybe we should be elected, flat out. But you understand my point. Why is it that even you, the people who pay attention to politics, have no idea what the AG does? Here's why. They haven't done much. And this office could do so much more. What if you had an attorney general who said, when they passed House Bill 3, when the governor signed it into law, they signed an unconstitutional law. And all of us who have the Constitution, the attorney general, all of us to the Board of Elections that they dare not enforce an unconstitutional poll tax, or I'm coming after them with the weight of a 358-person law firm. They are not going to violate the constitutional rights of Ohio citizens. What if we had? What if you hired an attorney general who joined the other great state attorney generals of America in suing the federal government over the No Child Left Behind Act, saying it's an unfunded federal mandate? General who said there are four decisions, count them, four, from the Ohio Supreme Court saying our system of educational funding is broken, and you, the elected officials, must fix it, because there's a new sheriff in town, a new chief law enforcement officer, and I expect you to comply with the law. What if you had that? What if this was legal? And that attorney general had enough legal skill and background in holding people in contempt of court as a former federal prosecutor, that what you do is eventually implement a strategy in which the heat is so hot underneath them that they must comply with the law. What a difference it would make. What if you had an attorney general, unlike the one we have now, who actually fought against predatory lending instead of for predatory lenders? We passed a law to protect our elderly and vulnerable from the predatory lenders that are ripping them off with huge interest rates, huge balloon payments, huge fees, unregulated because the state failed to do so. And it didn't surprise me when the state legislature then passed a law written by lending lobbyists, and then the lenders sued Cleveland. But what shocked me, guess who joined them? Jim Petro, your attorney general. He chose the predators over those who were preyed upon. He chose private interests over public interest, and that is wrong. He not only was on the sidelines, he actively did us harm. And I'm proud to say, under my legal leadership as law director, we beat Jim Petro in court. Now, and Jim Petro yet again went there arguing for the predatory lenders. My point is, I've given you a few quick examples. This office is as important to you as the governor's office, because we all want a new governor, and heaven knows we need a new governor. We need a new governor to lead us to prosperity, but the attorney general's job is to protect us from harm and from loss. And if we have one without the other, where are we going to be? Right back where we started. My friends, Democratic activists, progressive activists, I'm here to tell you one simple thing. This is a hiring choice that's facing you in the primary and in the general, and you need to ask yourself two simple questions. First, if your life were at stake, your own property were at stake, your liberty were at stake, who would you choose to be your lawyer? And the second question you need to ask is this: do Ohioans deserve anything less? I was a federal prosecutor. I prosecuted corruption and fraud in the healthcare industry. I received recognition from the FBI director. As the law director of the city of Cleveland, I spent 30-40% of my time cleaning up corruption schemes, more time than I ever thought I would. And finally, as the father of triplets, I clean up so many diapers every day. How hard can cleaning Ohio's government be for me? It took Republican Richard Nixon to go to China, and it took Democrat Bill Clinton to end welfare as we know it. Maybe what Ohio needs now, maybe what we all need now, is an Indian American to go after the sacred cows of Ohio politics. Yes. Well, the first thing that victims need is for their crimes to be solved. And these Republican office holders, Petro and Montgomery, before her, who now, by the way, this is so surreal, right? She wants her old job back, but she didn't want that job. She wanted another job. She can't do the job that she's got, and it's really bizarre. In any event, what we have is a situation in which they proclaim themselves to be tough on crime, but they are not. Manifestly not. And I'll give you some concrete examples. When I spoke with the sheriff of Carroll County, I spoke with the prosecuting attorney of Athens County, each of them told me it was going to take a year and a half to a year, respectively, to get results out of the state's crime lab, BCI, which the attorney general oversees. I know that there was a recent rape and homicide that was solved here I think it was at the Ohio State University about 10 years ago, and they solved it using DNA evidence in January. But what isn't known is that they received the DNA evidence in June. So it took them another 6 months just to process it. That's not tough on crime. And this ties back to another theme. which is the issue of fiscal conservatism, which I know is something we want to talk about. Other people just talk about it, including in my own party. They just talk about it. I've got a record of doing it. I don't just talk about reducing outside council spending. I did it. When I was Cleveland Law Director, the year before I got there, the city of Cleveland spent more money than the city of Los Angeles on outside attorneys, $7.5 million. LA's seven times our size. By the time I left, it was $850,000, a reduction of 88%. I don't just talk about these things. I have a record of accomplishment. In the meantime, Jim Pietro has gutted the size of the Attorney General's office, including DCI. That's why they can't process the evidence. Why? So he could proclaim himself falsely a fiscal conservative when he was running for governor, which is all he wanted to be anyway. He didn't want to be Attorney General. And then he outsources the work at greater expense, $48 million last year, at greater expense to outside lawyers, and then takes a legalized kickback in the form of a campaign contribution. It is a big lie. And where do the bills go? Those bills don't show up on his budget because he passes them along to the universities and the state agencies, money that could have been used for reduced tuition, for scholarships, for a student center. This man wasted every dime to pursue his personal political ambition to be governor. Why? I don't know, because it's not like he wants to do anything when he's governor. So you know, the issue of crime victims and criminal justice is something that I'm intimately familiar with. I mean, you need to have an attorney general candidate who knows the difference between a grand jury subpoena and a grand piano, because it is a significant component of the attorney general's job. But we would actually do the things we claim that we are supposed to do instead of just pretending to do them, which is what they've done. Yes, sir.
How will you turn up the heat on the legislators to fund education the way it's supposed to be?
Okay, well, let me just tell you a quick story. When I was a federal prosecutor, when I was a new federal prosecutor, I thought the way, you know, normal people do, which is that if you receive a subpoena, you got to go to court. If you get a court order telling you to pay child support or pay restitution, say out of a criminal matter, that you got to pay it. And it's true, you got to pay it. But what happens is, the practical reality of courts is this, that say the restitution order says pay on May 1. You got to pay your $100,000 in restitution by May 1. And May 2nd rolls around. As a green federal prosecutor, I thought, well, on May 2nd, I'm going to go to court and I'm going to have them held in contempt of court. Well, life isn't so easy because the judges are overburdened, the dockets are overburdened, and they're not going to hold somebody in contempt unless you are able to lay out a factual case that this violation was intentional and deliberate. So the strategy that I would follow is that any good lawyer, an experienced lawyer, would follow in trying to re-escalate this case. The first thing I would do on day one is I would send a letter to every legislator telling them, new sheriff in town, including a new governor, regardless of party, I would say, new sheriff in town, you must comply with the law. And what would they do? They would then ignore me. And then, right, I'm not unrealistic. Then the second thing I would do is present a plan. And I hope that plan and expect that plan would be presented in conjunction with the new Democratic governor, a concrete plan that would actually work, that they could work off of. Then what would they do? They would ignore it. And then we would present another, and we would present another. The point is to try to create the kind of factual background, if they fail to resolve this issue, where we can go back to the Ohio Supreme Court and say, in your last ruling, when you said, yes, you agree that there's a right, but there's no remedy, did you really mean to say that? Because we have now just presented you a case of an intentional, willful disregard for the law. And this court, I once said this to a federal judge and then ducked, you know, expecting hell to rain upon me. But I said to the judge, you know, the issue before the court is not whether this person has violated the law or not. I mean, that's not even an issue anymore. The issue is whether this court respects itself enough to hold people accountable to its own rule of law. And I saw that the judge's face darkened and they were about to explode, and then all of a sudden they look at the other person and they go, he's right. And that was it. Off to jail for that person. So that's really what we need to do, is get the Ohio Supreme Court in a position where it really needs to put up or shut up itself as to whether or not these rights have remedies. Yes, sir?
What, if anything, can the Attorney General's office respond to checking out any
You know, well, the Attorney General's role is over nonprofit organization and tax-exempt status. And certainly, those are the kinds of issues that the Attorney General would be in charge of. I'm not going to stand here and prejudge any of those issues. I don't think those kinds of issues should be politicized. I think those are issues that have to be determined based on evidence that's submitted. As far as I know, there's only been a complaint submitted to the IRS. Certainly, if a complaint were submitted to the Attorney General, then I would evaluate it in a fair-minded way. And, and some people on both sides of the issue might not like the result, but you have to make these decisions based on evidence. Which leads me to another point I want to make to you, simply this. The Attorney General, among all of the offices, needs to be held not by a politician with a law degree, but by a real lawyer and prosecutor with a record of accomplishment. Not only because that's the only way the job and in the office are going to be effective, but because above all offices, the Attorney General's office needs to be above the partisan fray. If Ken Blackwell had been pulling his shenanigans in 2004 while I were Attorney General, I can assure you the whole situation would have been handled differently because I would have been holding him accountable to the rule of law. And the first sign of trouble was when this guy... The first sign of trouble was when Ken Blackwell... remember this? This was an oldie but a goodie. Every voter registration form has to be submitted on the right way to cardstock. I mean, that was really the first major sign that this guy was up to no good. And what I would have done was immediately take him to court, and with the might of that law firm, to force him and a court to sort out what the rules of democracy were in advance of Election Day, so that we could then hold him accountable on Election Day without private parties having to go to court and getting results far too late in the day to make any difference. Yes, sir.
Hi. I'm curious what your stance is. I read some information recently that basically says that the DNA testing is something that prosecutors can use to find someone guilty, but it's at the court's pleasure whether or not a convicted person can request that to be used to try and prove their innocence. Mm-hmm. And what your stance is on that, as well as what your stance is regarding death penalty.
Yeah, I encourage you, on the first part, I encourage you to take a look at the biographical material we've sent around the single page flyer. I received some acclaim in Cleveland for having permitted the use of DNA testing, and in fact actively reopening 110 cases where we suspected that there may have been tainted evidence and tainted testimony to make sure that there were no innocent people remaining in prison as a result of that conduct by a city of Cleveland official. The fact of the matter is the DNA evidence is permitting us to do a lot of wonderful things, both convict the guilty but also find the innocent. There is nothing tough on crime about letting innocent people sit in prison. The simple logic, if you're a real prosecutor and not a politician with a law degree, and that is this. At the moment an innocent person is sitting in prison, the guilty person, by definition, is out there. And whether it's right or wrong, that needs to be an emphasis. Let me just conclude on the death penalty question. And I know many people in the room of good conscience and goodwill are going to disagree with me. I support the death penalty as appropriate punishment for certain types of crimes. And as a guy who grew up in the Oklahoma City area, the best example that comes to my mind is Tim McVeigh. I know other people believe in it. I will never politicize the death penalty. I will never do what Jim Petro did, which is send his senior deputy to the parole board and lie about the facts of the case in the Spurko case. Just lie about it to try to get yet another merit badge and yet another notch in his belt as he runs for governor. The death penalty has to be applied proportionately. You have to ensure that the utmost due process was given in each case, and that's the approach that I would take in the death penalty cases the Attorney General's office handles. Thank you very much, Mary. Thank you.